Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning and welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Francis Beck from WNY Athletics. Roger Weiss is here, and we are joined by Joe Licata, head coach at Bishop Tyman. We're going to be previewing Monsignor Martin this morning, a rainy, ugly morning. Not a great way to start the weekend, but hey, at least the Bills looked pretty decent last night. Way to kick it off. And when we're going to be talking football, it doesn't get any better than this, guys.
Yeah, Happy New Year. It kicks off on
exactly.
Monday.
We count the start of football as the beginning of the new year around here.
Roger, Francis, you guys, don't confuse me. If I want to be confused, I'll stay home with my wife, all right?
Does she listen to this? She's going to be upset at that comment.
No, she's used to it.
Roger's sleeping on the couch tonight. Right.
You guys are all probably too young to remember a comedian named Henny Youngman.
Yep, take my wife, please.
It was his shtick. You know, now take my wife, please. Well, this is my thing with Diana. She understands when I'm with her and I say that, she laughs.
Did you go to the fair during the week?
Not with me, at me.
Did you go to the fair during the week?
Well, we volunteer at the fair, yeah.
Where's my bacon bomb? I thought you were bringing back a barbecue bacon bomb today.
No, after what you told me about Silo, I'm mad at you about food.
Oh, man. I can't count on this guy for anything.
Tony ruined food.
I haven't even had a apple pierogi alla mode yet at Bob's. I only got 2 days left to do
that
it.
That does sound good, though.
Oh, it is.
Francis, news and notes, buddy.
All right, we have some big news and notes going on
like
this week.
I like big news and notes.
Two transfers, basketball. DeShawnee Cornfield, that was just announced yesterday, is moving to Putnam Science Academy in Connecticut. And then freshman sensation Willie Lightfoot is leaving the Cataract City. He is going to Christian Academy in Kansas.
Man, Niagara Falls is taking a beating in the offseason for basketball. Coach, couple of star players. Ooh.
Yeah.
I was just wondering about that. Do you think the fact that Sal left has anything to do with those transfers?
I wouldn't be surprised if it had something to do with it. Coach Constantino's well-loved by his players. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is just the area and, you know, the league they play in. There isn't enough talent to, you know, maybe better yourself, especially where they want to go, which is D1 and, you know, beyond.
Mm-hmm. They did that a few years ago, Francis. I don't know if you're you may be too young to recall. They went independent for 2 years. They would only play the Niagara Frontier teams once instead of two. So those schools still had an opportunity. They would play the home game.
Right.
You know, Niagara Falls would go to each one of those schools, so they didn't lose the potential windfall from that game. Otherwise, they were independent, but I guess they were restricted to only do it for a couple of years. So then they had to go back, and compared to the schedule they set up for themselves those 2 years, it was coming back as a watered-down schedule.
Oh, they were playing some great teams in New Jersey,
absolutely,
New York City area.
Sure. Yes.
Sure, I remember that.
All right, the other big news, Frank Wolf broke this. Ty Parker is taking over as head coach of the Maritime Charter Health Sciences team. Charlie Cumminford will step aside as an assistant. And then my final news and notes, some good news. Torrey Jenkins, St. Mary's softball pitcher, is committing to Division I Cleveland State.
Let's see. Roger, do you have anything for news and notes before
nope.
I get to mine? All right, then I'm going right to mine. Star Point names Vinny Del Oso as a new athletic director. From what I understand, he's going to have a lot of trouble with the new basketball coach there. I've heard he's a rowdy
he
one,
is,
Joe.
He is. I'm concerned about his about him yelling at the refs. I don't know what's going to happen.
he was the AD at West Seneca
yep.
last
year.
Yes. Okay. Well, he's going to Star Point. That's a great situation.
Yeah, it's a great hire for Star Point. Vinny's a great guy, and I know they like him a lot over there already.
Any updates on a potential non-league basketball game this year between Timon and Star Point? Is that in the works? What's the story on that?
December 20th, the Timon Tigers will be traveling to Star
Pendleton.
Point.
Yep,
to Pendleton, New York. breaking news right there. That's my breaking news.
Is that a Saturday?
It's a Friday night.
Friday night, wow.
Yep, December 20th.
Might need Friday night lights for that.
Yeah, absolutely. The 6th annual Section 6 Hall of Fame was announced. I posted this to our Facebook page the other day. Congratulations to the following: Cheryl Bailey, a contributor from Southwestern; Robert Barzak, from an administrator from Sweet Home; Roger, you're going to remember this name, Bill Berge, athlete from Pine Valley, was number 66, I believe, for the Philadelphia Eagles for a long time.
I think he played for the Bengals as well. Don't quote me on that.
You might be right. Paul Bartkowski, coach from Alden; Tommy Coella, athlete from Albion; Peter Dygart, a contributor from Boces; Fran Haggerty from Niagara Wheatfield. Here's another name for you, Raj. Joe Ehrman from Riverside, NFL Hall of Famer with the Colts for so many years. Richard Harvey, you guys remember him, coach from Kenmore and Tonawanda. Here's another one, Raj. The Jaws, Ron Jaworski from Lackawanna.
In the old country, we say Javoski.
Hal Rupert, administrator from Star Point. Charles Sen, coach from Cattaraugus Little Valley. William Stedman, administrator from Barker. Janice Sackett Williams, coach from Akron, who goes in posthumous. So congratulations to the 2019 Section 6 Hall of Fame class. Now, also the BCANY Coaches Clinic, Wednesday, August 21st from 7 to 9 at Christian Central Academy on Main Street. Free to all youth, modified JV, varsity, college coaches, both boys or girls. Presenters are Niagara Women's Coach Jada Pierce Newfane. We got Eric Klump from Olean, Tim Kozlowski, Salamanca, Adam Bennett. So those are just some of the coaches that will be there. If you have any questions, contact Justin Gerstung at JustinGerstung@AOL.com.
Can't make that, unfortunately, Tony. I'd like to be there with the BCANY, but also that it'll be our first meeting Wednesday night at the Lancaster Elks for the Trench Trophy Committee.
High school football kicks off 2 weeks from Thursday? Is it start on a Thursday this year?
Yes, I believe there is a Thursday game.
The section changed the rule this year where you only have to have 10 practices in order to play your first game. It used to be 10 before you could scrimmage and then 15 before you could play your first game. This year it's switched to 10.
Was it 5 in shorts and t-shirts before you could put on equipment?
No, it's two
helmet, two 3 helmet. Days of uppers, yeah, and uppers. Then on the Saturday you can go full pads.
Yep.
So a week from today they'll be in full pads.
And they start practice on Monday, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yep, the 19th.
And that's for all sports.
And we have a conflict for the day of all the scrimmages.
What's that?
Wing Fest.
I think the Wing King will understand if you go.
Ooh, I was supposed to judge in that.
No.
I'm also scheduled to go to the beach that
Mr.
day.
Mr. Serza, you can't let him down.
Mr. Serza,
you know that he played for my father?
Did he really?
He played for my dad in college for a year or 2 years at Bryant Stratton, I believe.
Holy cow, I did not know that.
We're
way
talking
go,
basketball,
Drew.
Not yep. football, correct?
Basketball.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, when did Brian Stratton have a football team?
All right, guys, we're going to preview Monsignor Martin this week. Joe, you've got big shoes to fill in because normally Dick Gallagher is sitting in here and just giving us, a windfall of knowledge. Nobody knows these teams better than Dick Gallagher.
The five Dick Gallagher.
The five Dick Gallaghers are always out on any given Friday night or Saturday afternoon. So we're going to break it down, get people up to date on what's going on in Monsignor Martin. Let's start off with your team. Tymon, you guys are kind of rebuilding things.
Yep.
You're putting everything back into place and, you know, bringing the pride back to Tymon. Tell us a little bit about your squad this year.
Well, first of all, there's no one that can ever fill the shoes of Dick Gallagher. So he's awesome for Western New York High School sports. He's done a great job. He's the guru. And I have the most respect for what Dick Gallagher has done for high school sports. But for Tymon, we're hoping to have 35 to 40 kids out this year, which is double what we had my first year there, which is awesome. We're probably going to start five senior offensive linemen.
That's a nice luxury.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to run the ball behind five studs. So Alex
As
Reinhardt,
I said, that's where it starts.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You win games in the trenches.
Absolutely. Alex Reinhardt's a guy to look out for the Trench Trophy. He's a Division I potential kid.
What kind of size?
He's about 6'4", 270.
Oh, nice.
And he can move. He can play basketball, too. He's that good of an athlete where he can physically dominate people and move. And
good luck moving him out of the paint.
He's special. And then we've got four other seniors, Brendan Davies, CJ Varela, Todd Perkovich, Luke McMahon, that'll kind of anchor our offensive line. It's going to be a fun year, I think. All those guys that came in when we first started there are now getting older and coming into their own, and it should be a fun year.
And they know what to expect out of you as a coach. They're used to you now, so
right.
That's obviously, you know, to have that chemistry between players and coaches is pretty big.
Yeah, absolutely. They know the system, too. The first year was a lot of teaching. Second year, we made some strides, especially offensively, put up some big numbers. But now this third year, I'm expecting us to be special.
Now, you've had a lot of coaches throughout your career as a
yep.
player. Anyone in particular you're able to grab and mold as to what you're trying to instill at Tymon?
Yeah, I played for a lot of great guys. In basketball with Al Monaco and in football with Craig Krasanski in high school. And I think Coach Krasanski had the biggest impact on me. Going forward in coaching, because I knew that he cared about me. And I didn't care how much he knew until he showed me how much he cared, and I knew that he genuinely loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And that went a long way.
His offense was fun to play in.
It was awesome. But that's what I'm saying is he cared about his guys, and guys wanted to play for him. And I think that the kids at Tymon know how much our staff cares about them, and so they want to play for us, and it's been a great ride so far.
I think it does help when you're able – because one thing, you know, from coaching standpoint, if you're a phony, if you're fake,
the kids see right through it.
You have to be yourself. You have to be real.
Yeah, you have to be genuine.
And you have to show them that you care.
Yeah.
You give them that hug after sometimes you may have to say, all right, you know, you didn't do what right. I asked you on that play, and you maybe pull them aside and say, this is how you do it, and show them the love.
I know you remember this game. I'll tell you a quick Krasanski story. We're playing against Williamsville North on a Thursday night my junior year. Remember this game? You were on the sideline.
Okay.
And we threw for 500 yards, 7 touchdowns. And at halftime, I got reamed out by Krasanski in front of everybody. He said, our blank quarterback can't stop throwing interceptions. Got through an interception in the first half, but had thrown like 4 touchdowns. And for like, I had like 350 yards passing in just the first half alone. And Krasanski reamed me out in front of everybody. But that was kind of his way of just showing the guys that he knew I could handle it. And it was an awesome coaching moment. It's my favorite Krasanski story.
Well, the thing is about that game, you know, yes, do I remember that game vaguely. The game I remember, and I still call it your coming out game, you versus Casey Kaz.
He threw 6 touchdowns that game.
Yeah, how many did you throw?
5.
I mean, you talk about all the
back and forth.
That was fun.
From the football purists, not necessarily a game, but from the fans for entertainment, there was never anyone betting any game better in the 15 years I've been involved, Anthony.
It was like basketball on grass. It was fun. It was fun. That was a lot of fun. I talked to Casey
recently.
That whole time
period was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there was a lot of talent around here.
By the way, now that we mention it, talking about the talent that was on the field, how about Mark Coppola?
Oh, that's awesome. I
I forgot that for news and notes.
Yeah, Mark got an internship with the Dallas Mavericks.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, he's
I knew I had something for news and notes and I couldn't remember it. I'm thinking all the way in that jacked my memory.
Yeah,
Mark Coppola.
Yeah, so he's gonna be doing that. He he's going to be in player development as an assistant. So he'll be on the court, you know, rebounding with the guys, helping out, and he's really excited. It's going to be an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Francis, I don't know if you remember Markopoulos as a player. Just to show you how tall Mark...
I've met Mark in person, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, if Tony was playing one-on-one against him, Tony could probably post him up. That's how short Mark Capola was.
Oh, Mark was the best.
But what a basketball player. And not too shabby for a second or third option
He was a great football player.
Wide receiver.
He was a great football player. Julian Edelman type, just kind of like...
Exactly.
We put him in the slot, throw screens to him. He was great
Cole
on the 5 yards.
Beasley's the one I have in mind.
Yes, yes. He had a great showing last night, too.
Yes.
But, yeah, Mark was special and on the basketball court, obviously, and he was a really good football player.
Well, your whole team was special back then. It was a lot of fun. We did a couple of the games on WGR.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Right here with Friday Night Lights. And I can remember it was Dick Gallagher and Mike Ferentino one year come up to me and says, you guys got to see this quarterback that's coming up at Will South. His name's Joe Licata. He's going to be something special. And then it was your sophomore year, you started tearing it up. And like, oh, boy,
like
we're going to have fun.
Versus Sweet Home, Casey Kaz. Yeah. I still talk to, when I see Casey, yeah. I still talk about that game.
Let's continue previewing Monsignor Martin. We talked about your team. Schedule-wise, what are you guys looking at this year? Do you have any crossover games against Section 6, or you guys primarily going out of town?
Yeah, so we Ken Stolt connected Timon with a few games in the section. So we're actually opening up against Iroquois week one. We're going to play against Akron and Wilson, also from Section 6. So,
are you going to Wilson? Or
we
is
are
that...
going to Wilson. I believe
oh,
we're the
field
first
is
game.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, I believe we're the opening game on that field, which will be
gorgeous.
Will be awesome. Yeah,
I love playing there. We my little league team went out there the last couple of years, and it's just a fun place to go. You know what it is? It's old-time football.
Small
it's
town.
Small town.
Yeah.
It just it's that whole high school feeling. It just makes you think about the old days. It's just a great atmosphere. And they have an awesome snack stand, Raj.
Did you? I know you're playing Iroquois in week one. Did you have to move it from Thursday?
Yes, we moved it officially from Thursday to Friday because of the section moved to 10 practices, but Monsignor Martin still goes with the New York State Catholic rules, and we still are on 15 practices, so we couldn't play on that Thursday night, which is unfortunate because I would have loved to have been one of the only games in town on Thursday night and everybody
sure.
would be out there
only
watching.
Only game now that night is Niagara-Wheatfield at North Tonawanda.
Right, and I'm sure a lot of people will be there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
for
me,
you know, Iroquois is just a little bit closer yep. to home than North Tonawanda.
I always like playing at Iroquois. They have one of the nicest grass fields. They maintain that thing very well.
I think our very first Friday Night Lights game was at Iroquois, and it was a great place. It's the first place I ever heard of taco in a bag. Like, wow, this is neat. What a great idea. All right, we're going to take a break while Roger scolds me during the break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at more of the Monsignor Martin team. Of course, you also mentioned you have a game in Ohio
yep.
that you're looking forward to. So we'll have all that and more. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, Francis Beck from WNY Athletics. Roger Weiss is here, and we are joined by Joe Licata, head coach at Bishop Timon. We're previewing Monsignor Martin, and before the break, we were talking about your schedule, Joe. You guys do have a game in Ohio. Against who?
We're going to Dover, Ohio, which is just outside of Canton. They're a great program. I talked to their athletic director and their coach a few times, and you know, obviously I've studied up on them. They're very good. It's going to be a really cool experience for our kids. They have like a 5,000 seat stadium that they sell out. They sell
nice.
Out. They sell 2,000 season tickets.
Wow.
So it's going to be.
I mean, is that sick or what?
It's going to be a really cool experience for our kids, and you know, we'll stay overnight in a hotel, and then on Saturday morning we're actually going to go to the Hall of Fame. So it'll be a really cool experience for everybody.
And I like the Hall of Fame, but your visit is over in a minute and a half. Oh, it's very short.
I know. We did it in college. It was really cool. It was fun to see. And I know a lot of our kids are big Bills fans, so they'll see a lot of the old cool Bills stuff there, and I know they'll appreciate that. So
they do some training videos on the field that's right in front, USA Football.
Yeah.
We'll post some of them. You know, I'll look at some of them for drill ideas. Yeah. And I think that's pretty new. Yeah, I remember walking across that. Roger, you are here, you know, crazy. There's a stadium. I was reading this yesterday. A stadium in Texas, $53 million. They have the state's largest jumbotron. This is a high school stadium.
It's such a moneymaker, though, in some of these places.
Oh, yeah. You bring up, you know, the 2000 season tickets. That's what reminded me of, because they're that passionate about high school football down there. And whether it's Ohio, you know, Texas, they're crazy about high school football.
Yeah.
It's great.
Which is why I'm not necessarily understand why it can't be that way around here. I mean, it's
just the Bills and the Sabres.
Well, that's the thing. No, but they have Dallas and all them other big teams, yet the high school is big down there. And why it can't be promoted to and upgraded around here.
They also
totally
have a much bigger population.
Yeah. But it's also lack of commitment from the state.
True. New York State does not take athletics as a priority.
No, it's education.
Not at the high school level.
No.
At the high school level, the fact that we don't start until August 19th, and then we're only allowed to play the section, you're only allowed to play 7 games. Some of these teams are playing 10 games in the regular season in Ohio. So let's say a kid plays for 3 years in Ohio, that's 30 games. A kid plays for 3 years in New York, that's 21 games. You just lost out on 9 games for recruiting,
exactly.
For development, for experience. I mean, New York's so far behind, and they never will be at that level until the state commits to it.
And they just turned it down. You mentioned it, was it 2 weeks ago?
That wasn't for football. That was for other sports.
It's a monetary thing, too.
But it's like that even in softball. And the way I found out is because the Will East girls did make the top 9 in the country, they listed the record of all these schools. There were 27-0. There's a team in California that was 36-4-1.
Yeah, they play in other states. They do have a lot more emphasis on high school sports. Let's get it back into looking at Monsignor Martin. We've talked about your team. Now, the kids, I'm assuming, get really excited about a trip to Ohio.
Yeah.
That's got to be a lot of fun to play, you know, especially to go up against really good competition like that. And it's a great gauge for you guys and a way for you guys to get better.
Absolutely.
Always said that when you play better competition, it makes you better as a team.
Absolutely. It's going to be a cool experience,
You guys got that going for you. Let's take a look at some of the other teams around Monsignor Martin. Cardinal O'Hara, I know, another one that's up and coming, building, been adding a lot of speed to their program. They're a type of team that they're going to give you a run for your money.
Yeah, absolutely. They beat us in the small school championship last year. I actually played with Shaq Dudley in college. Shaq does a great job. I know all the kids respect him and like him, and they love playing for him. You know, they lost their quarterback, CJ Masters, who was a really good football player. He's at Alfred right now, I believe. So his younger brother actually is fighting for the starting job over there also, I believe, right now, Aiden Masters. Had a chance to get to know that family pretty well too. So they're going to be good. They're always good because of the job that Shaq does.
And, you know, one thing that they did, they're bringing back doing clinics, and so they're exposing themselves to, you know, the youth out there to say, hey, come take a look at us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
a great idea. Let's see. You have anything on St. Mary's, Francis?
Yeah, Matthew Art is taking over as head coach of the Lancers' first season. They return 8 starters on offense, 7 on defense. Their key returnees are Chris Kobus, Thomas Moss, Janair Henderson, Jaquan Manuel, Fred Johnson, and Tyshawn Johnson.
They're returning. They had a lot of young players last year. I know Fred Johnson in the middle. He's playing linebacker for him. Played a little bit of running back for him too, but he's a really good player. He's a guy to keep an eye on. And I've known Coach Ard for a while. He assisted Chris Glenn when Chris Glenn was the head coach over at Mary's. He's been all over, and he's very well respected.
And got kid to keep your eye on sophomore Will Rose, lineman, and Coach Art thinks very highly of him. He'll be a force to be reckoned with on the line for years to come.
Oh, you got to love those big boys on the line because, as I said,
I like when they're on my team.
Yeah, exactly. When they're opening holes for your running back and protecting
not
the quarterback.
Not when they're plugging them up from the other side.
Let's see. Let's take a look at St. Joe's.
Yes. St. Joe's is going to be great. They're very well coached. Derek does a really nice job over there. They just brought in a quarterback from Canada. I don't know his name, but he's impressive. He's probably 6'4". He could throw it. He's really smart. He's a football guy. And Derek thinks very highly of him. He's going to be a junior this year. He's already got, I think, 3 or 4 Division I offers from some MAC schools. So he's probably one of the next guys to really look out for from the quarterback position out of Western New York.
How is he with arm strength?
He can throw it. He can throw it. He can spin it. I mean, he's a Division I prospect.
Nice. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun for anybody else that's playing St. Joe's.
Yeah, we don't play them this year. The way the divisions are set up, we play 2 crossover games against the quote-unquote large schools, and we play Canisius and Franny's this year.
Are you playing any of the Rochester schools?
No, so they joined the section for scheduling. So a lot of those, like UPrep and Greece Olympia, like teams that we've played in the past, they don't have openings in their schedule anymore because it's filled by the section.
Yeah, because I saw Canisius isn't playing Aquinas.
Aquinas isn't playing any local teams.
Yeah, we're not. Have their schedule filled by the section, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
I don't think it's a good thing for the Western New York schools.
No.
I think it's a good experience. I mean, supposedly bitter rivalry with Aquinas and all that. It's a pleasure to go to those Aquinas games.
Absolutely.
And again, you're playing against a quality program that makes your team better.
Right.
Those are the teams you want to play.
Right, absolutely.
Aquinas games at St. Francis, I mean, on a Saturday night when, you know, it was the only game in town.
Right.
Boy, there was a lot of congestion over on St. Francis Drives at the start,
right,
before the game and after the game.
Well, speaking of Saturday nights, I knew that Jerry Smith, we were talking about Jerry a little bit earlier, he's one of the guys that I respect the most in this business. I mean, he's done a heck of a job for how long has he been there? Over 30 years.
Yeah.
And he consistently puts a great product on the field and then develops his guys and gives them opportunities past high school, and that's what you want out of a high school coach. But he always wanted to play on Saturday nights because, yes, it was the only game in town, and he knew he would have the best officials because it wasn't going to be a watered-down pool to choose from. So he always got the highest-ranked officials on Saturday nights.
Pretty smart there,
veteran
coach.
Move, Coach.
Yeah,
Smith.
It is. He's got a great football mind. I love sitting down talking with him.
But he still let the officials know it when they disagreed with one of their calls.
A few choice words.
And he knows just how far he could go.
Oh, yeah.
He's fun to be near on the sidelines.
And the thing about him is he does a great job developing kids.
Absolutely.
And you just look at the pipeline of kids that he has sent to Division I and lower. It goes on and on and on. You know, that's all on him. He does a great job. Looking at Canisius, and I got a little went back and forth with Bryce Hopkins, and I thank him for sending some information. They're looking at a 3-way battle for quarterback. They have 2 sophomores and a junior. They're going to fight it out, including one of them is our buddy Bakes's nephew, Tyler. So he'll be one in the mix there. They're going to be big this year. They're big at receiver. They're big at line, and they're fast.
Yeah, the other 2 quarterbacks are Gabe Fisher, who was the backup on varsity last year, and then Austin Williams, who just transferred just a couple weeks ago from Warsaw.
Yeah, I've known Tyler Baker for the last 3 years. I've had a chance to work with him and his little brother, also, who's going to be a freshman at Canisius this year too. But Tyler is a dual threat kid. I mean, he can do it all. He's fast. He can make all the throws on the field. He's an impressive quarterback.
They can go at wideout 6'4", 6'5", 6'4". That's nice to have at wideout. You know what I'm saying?
What just college are you talking about?
Well, I'll tell you, though, one of their best players is going to be the kid who transferred in from Starpoint, Simpson, Riley Simpson.
I remember that name.
He's a ball player. It's Coach Simpson from UB, the linebackers coach at UB. It's his son. He was at Starpoint, put up some big numbers there at running back and a little bit of receiver, and now he transferred over to Canisius.
See another one that had a run-in with that principal over at Starpoint?
The principal over there, yeah. He's No, but yeah, so Riley's going to be over there. He'll be a good ball player for him, too.
They also got a transfer from Niagara Falls, one of the Wolverines' better players.
Yep,
so
Joe Dixon.
That pipeline continues to go from Niagara Falls to Canisius.
Yeah.
And they're liking that over there at Canisius.
They also have C.J. Ozalins.
Yeah.
He's going to be starting middle linebacker. I think he deadlifted almost 500 I saw recently. Yeah.
That's Cornelius you're talking about?
No. I'm talking about C.J. Ozalins. They're my linebacker.
Cornelius, they list as the strongest player.
Yes, he's their strongest player by far.
He, what is he, benched 225 23 times. That's NFL numbers.
His father, I believe, is a power lifter.
Yeah.
A competitive power lifter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, have fun lining up against him. I'll be over on the sidelines drinking some Gatorade. Thank you. Yeah, they're going to be big, so have a lot of fun playing Canisius this year.
How's that old saying go? You want to mess with me, buddy? Well, this is me, buddy.
Let's see. St. Francis, we did talk a little bit about Jerry Smith. Let's talk about his team.
Yeah, start with the quarterback, obviously. Jake Ritz is another guy who's potentially a Division I kid. Can make all the throws on the field. His timing is a credit to, first of all, their offense. They do a great job of scheming things, and he gets the ball out on time, and it's always accurate. And
he's just going to be a junior?
He's going to be a junior.
He's just going to be a junior.
Didn't he put up some crazy numbers as a sophomore? Yep. Or if he gets anywhere near those numbers, he'll slaughter every record in Western New York.
Roger, he broke the single-season passing record for Western New York. And then he matched Joe's mark.
You got to rub that in there. I knew they were going to go there.
36 touchdowns. It's okay because Cole Snyder broke it a few weeks before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was back and forth, wasn't it?
And Chase tied it as
well.
Chase,
it was.
And then you had Chase early on with start point.
Cole was a senior. This young man was only a sophomore at the time.
Yeah, he can throw it. And like I said, they do a great job calling their offense over there. So a lot of the stuff is timing, and he's got great timing and accuracy because his footwork's so good.
What do you look at when you're looking at a quarterback?
From what perspective? Like as a opposing coach, or
coach, or even as you're scouting the team. What are the things that
as
you
an opposing
look at?
Coach? You want to make the kid uncomfortable. So you got to find ways to make a kid uncomfortable. Whether that's by mixing up the defensive calls, on the back end, showing them a different type of coverage, or whether that's trying to get pressure on people. People always talk about Tom Brady. The way to beat Tom Brady is to
up the middle,
get pressure on him. I mean, obviously, if you're going to sack a guy, that's the way to beat him. But
hard to throw when you're on
right,
your butt.
Right, it's hard to throw when you're on the ground. There's different ways to try to upset a kid and get him uncomfortable.
If he's not used to moving, if he's not a mobile quarterback,
right.
You want to get him to move.
You either bring pressure up the middle, up the side. You can blitz. You could, or you don't blitz, and you play a different coverage on the back end that people have never seen.
Double up on his go-to guy.
You could do that. When I was in high school,
when West Seneca East last year
played against Starpoint.
Starpoint.
Yeah. They rushed two.
But they had him so out of his comfort zone, it was unbelievable. I says, this guy is supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in Western New York, and he was. But Coach Marino and the West Seneca East. Cadre, they found a way to get him out, made him throw the ball before he wanted to, and it was unbelievable.
Well, go ahead.
They were also helped by the weather that day. If I remember right, it was very windy and rainy. There were a bunch of delays.
Was
it was hard
game.
To throw the football.
No, it wasn't so much the weather as it was the defensive scheme, believe me.
Well, if you go back and watch the 1990, I believe, Super Bowl, when the first one with the Giants, the Bills and the Giants.
Yeah.
Go back and watch it and see how many times that Belichick schemed up and only rushed two guys.
That's why we yelled, why weren't they giving Thurman the ball? Thurman was having a career day. They couldn't stop him. But
they didn't want to stop him.
No.
They didn't want to stop him. They said, you beat us with their run game, and they too headstrong wouldn't do it.
Exactly. Thank you very much. On that, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about Senior Martin with Joe Licata. Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11 o'clock right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports, then Sports Talk Saturday follows us. A lot of talk on the Bills' exhibition win over the Panthers last night. A lot of questions, I think, still develop. Like, will Duke Williams make the team? He looked great, made a nice impression, I think, on the coaches, and it's going to make the decision difficult. Christian Wade, man, this kid's fun to watch.
How do you get rid of him?
Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
Kudos to the rugby guys. Right. All right.
Do you think the ticky-tack penalties and all that is an offshoot of that non-interference call in the Super Bowl? And is that going to continue once the regular season starts?
I think it's a point of emphasis this year. it's a point of emphasis to talk about it or to make the calls a lot tighter because there is review this year. So I think that is one of the points of emphasis.
Are there any rule changes we could look for in high school?
In high school? I have the meeting tomorrow night, and I can get back to you. I don't know right now any of the – there's always some point of emphasis that, like, last year was targeting and not kicking kids out versus kicking kids out if it was – certain levels of it. So
not to mention there's always looking at ways to make the game safer yeah. Keeping your head up.
Yeah, that's anytime there's a rule change, it's mostly for safety. So I think they've done a nice job of worrying about head any types of hits to the head and penalizing it right away. I mean, the game that's taught right now is different than the game that was taught 25 years
absolutely
ago. And that's the thing that kind of bothers me about parents not wanting their kids to play. Is the game wasn't the game when you were a kid. It's not like it was in 1985.
Well, you think about it, when I grew up playing, you led with your helmet.
Right, and that's the way you were taught, probably.
Now we do what's called a hawk tackle. So our head, and this is from rugby, your head goes to the side,
right.
And you're putting your shoulder into the midsection. You're wrapping up behind the knees. Right.
You know, the other thing, like, speaking of safety, we have our first team going to play eight-man football starting Monday, Frewsburg.
That's right.
Joe, I wanted to ask you, there's some controversy, I guess, around eight-man football, whether it's safer. What do you think about that?
It's a same-size field, and there's more space. So you're going to have less impact at the snap of the football, but there's more space, so there's going to be bigger hits on the outside.
If you want to clear this and you want a better view of it, look at the difference between rugby and sevens. Sevens is essentially doing the same thing where you go from the big, was it 11 or 12 on the field. Now you're down to seven, so you create open space. It's really exciting when you get somebody like a Christian Wade in open field,
right.
And they're gone. You can't touch them.
Right, but there's a lot more space to cover, and the collisions will be bigger, I feel like, at that level. There's less impact at the point of, at the
line of scrimmage.
At the line of scrimmage right there. There's less impact right there, but then there's bigger impact outside of the box.
Yeah, because you've got a running start.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know, to answer your question, I don't know.
it's just interesting. I know you have a lot of experience in this, and that's a point of contention.
I don't know if it's better or worse. I'm a fan of 11-man football. I mean, we're going to play it as long as we can.
Exactly. Who will Frewsburg play? Teams from Section 5?
Yeah, all the teams from Section 5, and there's a lot in northern New York. But we are told there's a strong possibility they'll be playing Maple Grove in an 8-man game.
I've just seen it on the schedule. Now what? Maple Grove obviously is not going to have the advantage of having 11 versus 7 or 8.
No, it'll be an 8-man game. Maple Grove will play an 8-man football game.
So what are the rules, though? Is there three down linemen, and are they eligible?
Three down linemen, and then everybody else is a quarterback and a back. That's
so
what
everybody else
it.
Is eligible. So you can go three down, one quarterback, four receivers if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they take two guys off the line and
that's
one
what I'm
guy
thinking.
Out of the backfield.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And then you could probably put one guy in the backfield. I don't know. It's something that I hope doesn't take over. I love the game of football too much to –
There are some that really want to water down the game. I know there's a lot of talk, and I think even USA Football has brought up where you don't allow kids to put on equipment until I think age 12.
Yeah, 7th, 8th
grade. Want
them
playing flag football.
I can understand that and can get. I could relate to that and think of the importance of that. I personally didn't play Little League football. And I know guys like you do a great job of teaching it, but there's some guys out there that are just fathers that want to be out there with their kids teaching. But they don't know the game, and they're not
right.
Teaching it the right way. So you're almost better off not playing for somebody who doesn't know how to teach the game at a young age than you are. You're better off sitting yourself out, or parents sitting their kids out if you're going to go play for a system that doesn't understand football because it's not safe.
That's why I think it's important that you research as a parent. And I'm looking at it, if I wasn't coaching and my son came to me today saying, Dad, I want to play football, it's actually what I did is research.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at Niagara Falls Junior Football Club. I even went to a game the previous year to watch what was going on. And, you know, I like what I saw. And then NASA had a clinic coming up in the area, so I brought Nick there, and when they went over what they were doing with USA football and the emphasis on safety,
that's great.
And I saw the drills that they were doing, so it, you know, I had been out of coaching for several years at this point. I'm like, yeah, I think I like what I'm seeing here, and I was able to get involved.
There's a lot of, like, South Buffalo football.
Shamrocks,
they do
sure.
a great job over there. They coach it up the right way.
Tommy Joya's dad was a longtime coach.
He's one of my assistants.
Is
now,
he really?
Timing, yeah.
When you see him, give him the biggest hug from me. I had most memorable games coaching when I was coaching against Tommy.
Yeah.
I had a blast against him, and he was one of the nicest guys. He helped me out a lot. You know, I was coaching at Black Rock Riverside, and he was South Buffalo, and we just had a great time together whenever we coached. They were really good games, and then afterwards, big hugs, and
yeah,
just make sure you tell him
I said
that.
I definitely will. But that's what I'm saying. The guy, you know, there's certain Little League programs that are doing things the right way,
right.
And then there's certain ones that aren't necessarily doing it.
Sure.
And so I just be careful if you're, you know, you're a parent of a kid who wants to play football, make sure they're getting in it in the right program.
How are your kids buy into the off-season conditioning and working out? Did you get good numbers for that?
Yeah, we got good numbers. And the ones who were consistently there and the ones who were committed fully are going to be the ones who are able to perform the best on Friday nights come this fall. That's just the way it works out.
How's the saying go? Let's see. Weight room is not required, but neither is playing time.
Yeah, neither is playing time. But, you know, I can't officially say that. So I didn't say that.
Nope.
You said that, not me.
Yeah, that was for me.
And I might have agreed with you. No, I mean, it's usually a commitment level thing. And the kids who love the game and are the kids who are going to be there and the kids who are the most committed. And they're usually the kids who perform the best in practice. And it's no coincidence.
We had Scott Pilkey in here, and we were talking about recruiting, and we talked about relationships between high school coaches and colleges.
Yep.
Are you developing relationships
yes.
with colleges?
See, that's the thing that some of the kids don't understand is the college coaches come in and they ask for my opinion on kids, whether it's the kids that I coach or the kids that I coach against. And that's the network that you kind of build in this high school sports is – they ask me questions about kids from different schools. They ask me questions about what's his commitment level at time into the weight room. What's his commitment level to practice? How much film does he watch? They want to know all these things, and because they understand that I have a relationship with the kids and I know that information. So, if kids are thinking that they could not work hard and still get a look for college, and some of them might, but it's if you're working hard and your coach knows you're working hard, then you're in good shape for the next step.
Tom, do you know what's amazing? He's always talking about the kids. Remember when he was one of the kids? It wasn't that long ago.
It really wasn't.
Yeah.
Joe, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us this morning. Best of luck to you,
thank you.
During the year, and we are going to look forward to the Licata versus Licata matchup in basketball. Really excited
December
about that.
December 20th, Friday night.
Yep. Lock it in. I think center court's already reserving his seat. Derek Kramer, thank you. Sports Talk Saturday follows us. We'll talk to you guys next week as we get into Section 6. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.